Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now, you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off. And that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
And I would assume that there is a process, a protocol under which the intelligence community goes through if they seek to unmask a U.S. person's name.
That's correct.
Have you ever requested that a U.S. person's name be unmasked?
Yes, I have.
Have you also either approved or denied requests of others that a U.S. person's name be unmasked?
I don't recall in my tenure at CIA any decision on unmasking for someone else coming up to my level. It would have been, that decision would have been made at a lower level within the agency.
Are you aware of any requests within the community that were denied?
I didn't have visibility into requests that were being made across the government, so I don't recall one that I was denied.
Do you recall any U.S. ambassadors asking that names be unmasked?
I don't know. Maybe it's ringing a vague bell, but I could not answer with any confidence.
Do you remember what your last day on the job was at the CIA? What was the date?
It was noon on January 20th when I gave up my responsibilities as director of CIA.
On either January 19th or up till noon on January the 20th, did you make any unmasking request?
I do not believe I did.
So you did not make any request on the last day that you were employed?
No, I was not in the agency on the last day I was employed. I definitely know that on the last day I was employed, I definitely did not make such a request.
It's a really simple question. Did evidence exist of collusion, coordination, conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russian state actors at the time you learned of 2016 efforts?
I encountered and am aware of information and intelligence that revealed contacts and interactions between Russian officials and U.S. persons involved in the Trump campaign that I was concerned about because of known Russian efforts to suborn such individuals. And it raised questions in my mind, again, whether or not the Russians were able to gain the cooperation of those individuals. I don't know whether or not such collusion, that's your term, such collusion existed. I don't know. But I know that there was a sufficient basis of information and intelligence that required further investigation by the Bureau to determine whether or not U.S. persons were actively conspiring, colluding with Russian officials.
But Mr. Clapper then went on to say that to his knowledge, there was no evidence of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. We did not conclude any evidence in our report. And when I say our report, that is the NSA, FBI, and CIA, with my office, the Director of National Intelligence, that had anything, any reflection of collusion between the members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that in our report. Was Mr. Clapper wrong when he said that?
I think he's right about characterizing the report, which you all have read.
We did not include any evidence in our report, and I say our, that's NSA, FBI, and CIA with my office, the Director of National Intelligence, that had anything that had any reflection of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that included in in our report.
Can you say definitively that there was collusion? There were people affiliated with the Trump campaign who were working with Russians to time the release of damaging information about Hillary Clinton that had been hacked either from John Podesta or the DNC?
I don't think we can say anything definitively at this point.
Have you seen anything, either intelligence briefings, through intelligence briefings, anything to back up any of the accusations that
you've
made?
They have the documentation that they did the hacking.
The hacking.
On the DNC.
Right.
And on some of us, you know, that have.
But the collusion, though.
No, we have not.
Do you have evidence that there was, in fact, collusion between Trump associates and Russia during the campaign?
Not at this time.
Have you seen anything that suggests any collusion between the Russians and the Trump campaign?
Well, there's an awful lot of smoke there, let's put it that way. People that might have said they were involved, to what extent they were involved, to what extent the president might have known about these people or whatever. There's nothing there from that standpoint that we have seen directly linking our president to any of that.
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show. There you have it again. And that is, we have the former CIA director Brennan talking about, I unmasked people. And then, of course, we have John Solomon and Sarah Carter talking about surveillance and unmasking and intelligence leaking. An unprecedented percentages increase in 2015 and 2016. A presidential election cycle where it went up 350%. Now, either the threats against our country justified the use of our intelligence community that they would actually surveil Americans without warrants, or pick them up incidentally and then unmask them, and in some cases even leak the intelligence, a violation of the Espionage Act, or this is a ruse and they're using the cover of intelligence gathering for the purpose of spying on an opposition party and on people and Americans that they don't like. And then, of course, we have the montage that goes on and on and on. You have thousands of hours of TV time, barrels and barrels and barrels of ink and, computer postings about how Russia colluded with Trump. And you hear every Democrat themselves saying no evidence. The huge, great conspiracy theory lie that has been advanced and perpetrated on the American people. Now, if it turns out that they ever find any evidence, I'm willing to listen to it, if it turns out that way. On the other hand, if it doesn't, they've got a big problem on their hands, the biggest media scandal in the history of the country by far. And for example, if it ever turned out that, maybe there really were people disgruntled and frustrated by the collusion, the lying, the manipulation, and the outright fixing of a campaign in favor of one candidate over another. And it came from within, not from Russia, with Trump working with Russia. I mean, we just don't know the answers yet. And as I said, I am going to continue investigating, and my goal is always to get to the truth. That's what we do on this program. Joining us now, Chris Tonto Paranto. He's one of the Benghazi heroes, and he saved so many people on September the 11th, 2012. He has a brand new book out, The Ranger Way. Hamidi Jassim is with us, author of The Terrorist Whisperer, the story of the pro-American trusted intelligence asset, fought Islamic terrorism all his life in Iraq. And Hamidi was the first Iraqi to be certified as an anti-terrorism and first protection expert and certificate recipient, and as an expert on anti-terrorism. Welcome, both of you. We appreciate you being here. Let me start with the unmasking issue. By the way, are you hungover like the last time you were in my studio?
No, I'm good. I feel good, actually.
The last time you came in the studio, you had no sleep.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The last time you came in the studio, you told me you had no sleep, that you were out partying like a crazy man all night.
I was not partying. I was in the gym all night working out. And it didn't reflect that when I walked in?
And what were you drinking in the gym?
Water. Yeah. Some clear liquid. That had a little brownish.
Why do I feel like you and I were brothers in a different life? I mean, we are so remarkably the same. It's crazy.
Thanks for that picture you choking me out, too. That went viral. I really
did it go viral?
Oh, yeah, it was great. Thank you.
Oh, boy. It gives me a truthful image, because that's how I am in real life, messing around all the time. All right, but let me ask you, I mean, when you talk about unmasking and intelligence, when you talk about leaking intelligence, when you talk about maybe weaponizing the intelligence community for political purposes, how scary is that?
You're giving them, they're untouchable, is what you're saying right now. You're saying, and I believe me, I have no love for the former CIA director, Brennan. I don't think he did us right as well with the Benghazi incident. But the it gives them carte blanche to do what they want. You don't spy on Americans. And what were we doing? Were we putting more emphasis on spying on Americans because of a campaign? Or are we trying to get intel from our enemies so we can go and kill terrorists? Where does our priorities lie? And with Brennan and with the other Democrats out there, liberals, with this unmasking, for a political party, it's disturbing. And it is un-American, and it's something that we need to stand up and hold them accountable for. And I think President Trump could do that, but I know he's got his hands full right now. But it's one of the things that needs to happen, and same with Mike Pompeo over there, the NCI director.
Hamidi, you understand intelligence. Obviously, your years, you fought Islamic terrorism all your life, and, on top of that, you were the first Iraqi certified as an anti-terrorism and first protector, and so you know how sophisticated our intelligence gathering is. How dangerous is it if our intelligence community, or just a few, I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but a couple of unsavory characters use it for nefarious purposes?
As Chris mentioned earlier, that we needed to stop concentrating on Americans and concentrate on the real enemy that's making a huge threat to the United States. ISIS and the Islamic State right now is the biggest threat to the United States, and we're not concentrating on what they're doing. Talking about the Manchester attack, this was an example to show you that fighting ISIS in Iraq and Syria is a lot different than fighting in your own homeland. We are not collecting enough information. ISIS recruiters are all over our communities, recruiting young children between the age of 17 years old to 22 years old. And what are we doing to stop these kind of recruiting processes? This is an example showing you that what happened in the UK, that we do not have any type of collected intelligence when it comes to the enemy. So I do agree with Chris that we need to stop concentrating on Americans, and we need to take a look at the real enemy that is closer to us right now. And this is ISIS and the Islamic State is a very different organization than Al-Qaeda. These guys are concentrating on the longevity of their organization. They are not looking just to take a building in New York City anymore. They're looking to be in our country for 50 to 100 years from now. And what are we doing to collect intelligence on our enemy? And that's an example to show you what happened in the UK, that we do not have any intelligence. We do not have any process to collect intelligence or have any intelligence sources within our enemy communities or within our own homeland. And that is even more dangerous than fighting ISIS in their own territories.
All right, stay right there, both of you. And when we come back, we'll talk more about this and how can they be advancing a theory that there's no evidence for, as we play that montage again. 800-941-SEAN.
From number one New York Times bestselling author and radio host Mark R. Levin comes an essential new book, Rediscovering Americanism and the Tyranny of Progressivism, a searing plea for a return to America's most sacred values. Mark R. Levin revisits the founders' warnings about the perils of overreach by the federal government and concludes that the men who created our country would be outraged and disappointed to see where we've ended up. Levin asks, how do we save our exceptional country? Because our values are in such a precarious state, he argues that a restoration to the essential truths on which our country was founded has never been more urgent, and understanding these principles can serve as the antidote to tyrannical regimes and governments. Rediscovering Americanism is not an exercise in nostalgia, but an appeal to his fellow citizens to reverse course for the sake of our children and our children's children. Rediscovering Americanism and the Tyranny of Progressivism by Mark R. Levin. Available now wherever books are sold.
All right, as we continue, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program as we continue with Chris Tanto-Peronto, one of the Benghazi heroes, and Hamidi Jassim is with us. You wrote The Ranger Way. I want to be a ranger. You told me last time you wouldn't have me as a ranger. What's up with that?
I don't. When did I say that? You're putting words in my mouth.
I said I'm too strong and that I choked you out and that you couldn't handle it and that I was way too powerful.
That's exactly. Well, there you go right there. That's why. You know what? We're going to go at it again. We're done here.
Promise,
right here on the floor.
Well, what happened? That didn't work out too from the last time we went at it. I mean, I don't know.
You're killing me. I can't. Why don't even?
Well, what is the Ranger Week? I mean, you teach people how to be a ranger.
No. It's
what is the Ranger Week?
There are so many books out there that military books that show how to be a SEAL, how to be a ranger, a lot of it has to do with that military side. And you can't do that. You can't just. This needs to apply to everybody within the civilian world, and everybody in the military. military world, because we're all the same. We're nothing special. It's only thing about me than anybody else. But it's about persevering. It's about never quitting. It's about hitting an obstacle and not stopping, which our young continue to do because of the snowflake generation, the participation trophies. We're getting weaker as a society. And the Ranger Way is about being able to fail, pick yourself back up, and succeed. Never stop. You never quit.
Nobody ever escapes life, do they?
No, you can't.
You know, people have been talking to me recently, Hannity, you're under fire. Hannity, you're under fire. I'm like, okay. Yeah, and nobody escapes life. That's life. I'm like, welcome to my life.
You take the brunt of it, and you're a winner. 100%. And you drive on through. It's an obstacle.
It's, yep. And if you can't do it, you can't live life. And all right, let me go to Hamadi. Tell me about your book, The Terrorist Whisperer, the story of being a pro-American trusted intelligence asset in Iraq.
I was just honored to save as many American soldiers that I can in Iraq during my work in Iraq. I was recruited by the U.S. intelligence in 2005 as an intelligence asset. I just happened to be working at a vital location in Iraq at the time, and it happens to be the same building where Al-Qaeda leadership and Islamic State leadership was operating in the same building. I was honored to be in the U.S. side to fight against these terrorist organizations to be able to eliminate their threats against our U.S. soldiers in Iraq. My job was to protect these Americans of all costs and get them home as much as I can. And the difference was, as I was born and raised there, I understand the language. Iraq was the kind of country at the time that didn't have any digital database, so there was no way for you to know who is who unless you know them by face and know a little bit about their background. And something that the U.S. intelligence were lacking in Iraq at the time, it was street-level intelligence. And that was the reason why they couldn't have it, because we didn't have any digital database. And my job was to get them intelligent information that the American intelligence couldn't get or didn't have any access to. So battling them in the intelligent level was just a different kind of fight. I would stand about 5 feet to a terrorist to know their activities, to know what they're up to. And the whole point is to know what their next step is. So that way American lives does not have to be taken and no Americans get harmed.
All right, I got to let you both go. Great books. We put them both on Hannity.com, even Chris Tantoparanto's book.
So much love when I walk in this room, always.
There's a ton of love. I love you to death. What are you talking about?
You're whatever you need from me, brother. You know that, especially with those crazies over on the left. You just give me the word.
I'm at peace. Don't worry. I'm good. All right, rock and roll. Thank you. Quick break. Right back. When we continue, we're going to check in with Karen Vaughn. She is the mother of a fallen SEAL, Aaron Vaughn, and we're going to talk about Memorial Day weekend. Then we're going to get to your calls in the next half hour. 800-941-SHAWN.
We know you never want to miss the Sean Hannity Show. And now you never have to. Just sign up for Hannity Headlines, a bite-sized version of the show that you can take with you on your laptop, your mobile phone, everywhere you go, even to your liberal in-law's place in Vermont.
So, yeah.
And after a few hours of that, you'll be glad you brought Sean along. To sign up today for Hannity Headlines, go to Hannity.com.
Contrary to numerous false press accounts leading up to today's hearing, Mr. Comey has now finally confirmed publicly what he repeatedly told President Trump privately. That is, that the president was not under investigation as part of any probe into Russian interference. The president, Mr. Comey also admitted that there is no evidence that a single vote changed as a result of any Russian interference. Mr. Comey's testimony also makes clear that the president never sought to impede the investigation into attempted Russian interference in the 2016 election. And in fact, according to Mr. Comey, the president told Mr. Comey, quote, "It would be good to find out," close quote, in that investigation, if there was, quote, "some satellite associates of his who did something wrong," close quote.
All right, 24 now till the top of the hour. From earlier today, responding to the hearing, James Comey, a huge day for the president. That was his attorney speaking after it. Afterwards, Mark Kozowitz, who put that out, and that's only a part of a very strongly worded statement, rebuttal, response to all that James Comey said and how he contradicted himself in so many ways today. Speaking now for the first time on all of this is Donald Trump Jr. I got to imagine on a personal level, this is probably heart-wrenching for you to, you know, for months and months and months and thousands of hours of television coverage and print coverage. You know, finally today it is comes out. Well, number one, your father was not under investigation ever at any point. He told the truth.
Yep.
And there's no Russian collusion, which means the black helicopter theories are blown out of the water. Three, the media is exposed for just getting so much wrong. And then you got Loretta Lynch, and then you got a guy that's even admitting he's got a personal vendetta here because, yeah, I was fired. Of course I have an agenda. I'm hopelessly biased.
I think it went great, Sean. You know, it's a shame we had to listen to this nonsense for 10 months. You know, it's a shame that the only thing, I think Marco Rubio hit this, you know, right on the head, the only thing that hasn't been leaked about my father was that he was never actually under investigation because there was obviously nothing ever there. But listen, in the end, I guess it was a really good day for us. Really bad day for Loretta Lynch, but a really good day for us.
Yeah, I agree with your assessment, but I why do I just not think the media is going to stop anyway? I mean,
oh, they won't. Listen, they have made up their minds, but it's honestly, I think at this point it's working in our favor because, you know, real people throughout the country are seeing this nonsense. They're seeing this, you know, pylon of these agendas trying to get pushed. You know, when Comey himself says the New York Times story with the Russian nonsense and the, you know, all the things I don't even want to talk about,
they're not true.
Yeah, that even he's saying, okay, that thing was totally false. You know, that's a pretty amazing thing because that's literally what these people have hung their hat on for, you know, the last 9 months. And so, you know, that won't go away. But you know what? You know that you're on the winning side when the Dow today hits a new all-time high.
Yeah.
Because the markets are looking at it and saying, okay, this is a big nothing. And Trump's been vindicated. So I'm excited.
Well, I still imagine that they, from their perspective, the left's perspective, there's been nothing your father can do right. I mean,
You can't. You know, they'll keep saying, "Oh, he was trying to influence the Flynn thing." Listen, you know my father pretty well. Him saying, "Hey, I hope the thing can go away." We both agree. Meaning Comey and him both agreed Flynn's a good guy. They both know him personally. Saying, "Hey, hope it goes away." Hey, you got to do your job.
Right.
You know, all else being equal, if there's nothing there, let it go away. I mean, guys talking like human beings. You know, I know Comey may not be capable of that. You know, everything's, but you know, it's so clear and so obvious. But rather than take, you know, or give him a benefit of the doubt, you know, rather than take the 99.9% chance that there's something that they want to run with the 0.002% chance. Meanwhile, you know, Comey doesn't report that. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't take it to a higher level. Why?
Well,
why?
That's the whole point. I mean,
why? I mean, he himself is breaking the law by doing it. So it's amazing. Now, when Loretta Lynch asks him to turn something, you know, from an investigation to a matter, he jumps and says, "How high?" I mean, you want to talk about obstruction of justice? Are you kidding me?
You know, I said to you from the very beginning, privately, and I even kidded with you on the air, you should really be there because, I mean, your intellect is keen, and obviously you love your dad, and there are some people, you know, that it just drives me crazy that they can't put two sentences together in terms of defending your father like Paul Ryan. But, you know, let me go back to this whole General Flynn issue. This poor guy, I hope it goes away. Everybody that knows your dad, I actually hear him in my ears saying it because I know that's how he is.
It's exactly.
But everybody seems to have forgotten that he was on 60 Minutes. Oh, I don't want the Clintons. No, they're good people. I mean, come on, the election's over. Yeah, I know my crowd said lock her up, but you know, I don't. I hope that goes away.
Yeah.
I mean, is it any different? It's the same thing.
No, it's not. It's the exact same.
I mean, I guess
thing,
he's not the person that really likes to fire people in real life. That's for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, the whole thing, listen, I had some fun with it on social because I'm watching it, and it's just, I mean, it's mind-boggling. I mean, this is the guy that's the director of the FBI, the guy in charge who's saying, well, if I was a stronger man, I might have actually followed the law if I thought I was being pressured. I mean, who's this guy kidding? I mean, is this guy that weak and feckless that he sits there and says, okay, well, I mean, it's sad. I mean, you wouldn't think that someone
Listen, it's more than sad.
That level of power
Don,
that little.
He admitted today, in my opinion, my interpretation, he came very close. He's probably himself, if we ever did follow the law in this country, but obviously there's a two-tier justice system.
Of course.
But 18 U.S. Code 4 says that if any point during his time as in his position as FBI director or anyone in that position, if they, in fact, believe somebody is trying to get them to obstruct justice, the word is in the law immediately. Right. Must go to the attorney general and the authorities and tell them.
Yeah. So he doesn't do that, and he says he doesn't do anything. But when Loretta Lynch asks him about it, not only does he do exactly what she says, but he doesn't report it. I mean, the double standard is so sick, Sean. It's hard to believe. And again, that's why I think the markets are reacting this way, because, I mean, they see it and they see what it is. It's a witch hunt.
It is a total witch hunt.
And these guys, that are, dwellers of the swamp, they want to get their big government contracting jobs and they're going to do all these things. And that's what, that's all it is. They're protecting themselves. And, I can understand that perhaps. But we're not doing the people of this country a service by doing that. They wasted 10 months using this as a way to obstruct my father's agenda, as a way to obstruct him, bringing jobs back to this country, putting Americans to work, creating tax reform, getting rid of excessive and obtrusive regulations, all the things that he's trying to do. I mean, they're literally using this nonsense, this cloud, holding it over his head to make it more difficult for him to do the things that are going to benefit the American public. And that, to me, is sick.
Listen, this election was very specifically about forgotten men and women in poverty and out of work and on food stamps. Let me go back to the audio of the president's attorney, Mark Kasowitz, and I want to play in particular where he calls out the memo leaking of James Comey.
Mr. Comey also testified that immediately after he was terminated, he authorized his friends to leak the contents of those memos to the press in order to, in Mr. Comey's words, quote, prompt the appointment of a special counsel, close quote. Although Mr. Comey testified that he only leaked the memos in response to a tweet, the public record reveals that the New York Times was quoting from those memos the day before the referenced tweet, which belies Mr. Comey's excuse for this unauthorized disclosure of privileged information and appears to be entirely retaliatory.
I think that just says it right there.
I think without question. I mean, look at the fact pattern with the same stuff. The way he conducted himself differently with my father versus Loretta Lynch, the Clintons, all the stuff. He didn't take notes with his meetings with Obama, even though strangely he only met with him twice. It's just. You can see that he's picked a side, and that's okay. I mean, that's D.C. But you wouldn't think you'd see that at this level, trying to take down someone who's just doing something. So honestly, in the end, now, let's get back to work. Let's put Americans to work. Let's bring money back into this country. Let's get tax reform done. Let's end the disaster that is known as Obamacare. Let's get to work. That's all my father wanted to do. That's why he did this. He didn't do this to have to answer to nonsense, to have to, deal with witch hunts perpetrated by, guys like this and the left-wing media. I mean, literally, we're finding out today that 10 months of their number one talking point is total crap, Sean. Okay, so let's get back to work.
You know, you have a better attitude maybe than I would. Look, I recently went through...
I'm very upset about it.
Yeah.
But, now there's no use crying over spilled milk. We're big boys.
I'm going to tell you how I view all of this, and you're right about the 10 months, and the media is involved. And I say the president has a number of enemies, the deep state, the Democrats, an abusively biased media, weak Republicans that never liked him, and then, of course, the never-Trumpers that want to be relevant again. But combined, it's the equivalent of a political kill shot. There was a political kill shot, right at my heart and my head by trying to take out my advertisers recently. There is a deep, deep resentment for anybody that doesn't have a particular point of view or takes on this swamp or this deep state.
No. Listen, I get it. I've seen it myself. I mean, you see the stuff, whether it's the Kathy Griffin nonsense. I mean, she took for 12 hours what my father takes on a daily basis for the last 2 years.
That's really true. It's such a good way to put it. I don't mean to laugh, but it's so funny.
For 12 hours and basically has a breakdown on TV and all of a sudden starts victim blaming when she did something disgusting that basically all sides agree was disgusting. And now she runs around victim blaming. I mean, it's laughable. I mean, this is someone who attacks people for a living. all of a sudden the cards are turned, the tables are turned a little bit, and there's a total and utter meltdown. I mean, that's the other side. And yeah. I think, again, like I said, I think regular Americans are starting to see that. I think they're starting to put on, you know, their filter for what they see in the media. And honestly, they just want to get back to work.
Yeah, it's been tough. Look, I do think it's going to go on. I do think that obviously you've got Mueller and his thing, but I do think today was a major victory in all the different ways. And I think the biggest story to come out of this is what your father had been saying. Number one is that he's not being investigated. Number two, there was no collusion. Number three, the media has been recklessly wrong, repeatedly wrong in all of this. Number four, the double standard with Loretta Lynch, as you've been pointing out, and the Clintons is so transparent. Comey never really thought it rose to any level because he never did anything about it. You know, he would have otherwise resigned or reported it, and he didn't. And so at this point, I guess it's just, well, a bunch of sorry, you know, liberal commentators that are going to be crying in their soup that Watergate 2 has not arrived yet.
We're going to get to hear about it for 2 to 3 weeks. It's going to, you know.
2 to 3 weeks. This goes on until 20.
Will be epic, but, you know, what can you do?
This goes. No. You don't understand. This goes on through 2024.
What part didn't you? Right. No, they will drag it out because it's all. The problem is, Sean, it's all they got because everything else has been so good. Look, the Dow's breaking records. People are going back to work. Employment numbers are awesome. You know, he's cutting regulation that, you know, the prior administration just forced through. I mean, he's not actually just forcing new laws on people. He's just getting rid of the old crap that no one actually cares about, and it's just been a disaster for small business and big business alike. You know, that's what people want to see.
No.
You know, let him do his job. Let him do what they elected to do. But, you know, they wanted to, you know, keep him busy with these smoke screens. But I think today was really great in the sense that it picked up the veil on what's actually going on out there. So, let's get back to work. Let's get it done. And let them keep fighting for the American people.
All right. I hope we get to see on TV tonight. We're going to be live for 2 hours, 10 till midnight, on the Fox News channel. Donald Trump Jr., we really appreciate you being with us. And, yeah, I agree. Big win for your dad today. Media won't see it that way, but they didn't get what they wanted.
No,
they wanted Watergate. They wanted the collusion as bad as anything they've ever wanted in their life. They didn't get it, and you're right. It's time to get back and work for those forgotten men and women that everyone seems to forget about. All right, Don, thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot, Sean.
All right, 800-941-SEAN is our number. All right, we're going to wrap things up for today. We're back on Hannity tonight, 2 hours, special 2-hour edition, Hannity, Fox News Channel. I want to remind all of you, if you haven't gotten Dad a present for Father's Day, listen, please, this is the gift he's going to love forever. And I love it, and I have it at my house, and I use it all the time. And it is the single best thing I've ever got in my life. It's amazing. And I'm talking about a Masterbuilt smoker. I mean, they've got electric smokers. And I got to tell you right now, your chance right now to enter to win one of five of them is so amazing. And you can get it basically at any home repair shop, any, you know, Walmart, Home Depot, that kind of place. And they're all over the place. And once you get one, your dad will be the luckiest guy on the block. You can smoke ribs and pork and cook any type of food you want in it, and it's incredible. It's called Masterbuilt, and they're electric smoker. And you can even work it remotely. It's that good. The technology is amazing. All right, so go to Hannity.com for rules and info. Sign up. You can win one of five. We'll see you tonight at 10 till midnight. Hannity, Fox News, back here tomorrow.
But Mr. Clapper then went on to say that, to his knowledge, there was no evidence of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. We did not conclude any evidence in our report. And when I say our report, that is the NSA, FBI, and CIA, with my office, the Director of National Intelligence, that had anything, any reflection of collusion between the members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that in our report. Was Mr. Clapper wrong when he said that?
I think he's right about characterizing the report, which you all have read.
We did not include any evidence in our report, and I say our, that's NSA, FBI, and CIA, with my office, the Director of National Intelligence, that had anything, that had any reflection of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that included in our report.
Can you say definitively that there was collusion? There were people affiliated with the Trump campaign who were working with Russians to time the release of damaging information about Hillary Clinton that had been hacked either from John Podesta or the DNC?
I don't think we can say anything definitively at this point.
Have you seen anything, either intelligence briefings, through intelligence briefings, anything to back up any of the accusations that
sure.
you've made?
They have the documentation that they did the hacking.
The hacking.
On the DNC.
Right.
And on some of us, you know, that
have. But the collusion, it. Though.
No, we have not.
Do you have evidence that there was, in fact, collusion between Trump associates and Russia during the campaign?
Not at this time.
Have you seen anything that suggests any collusion between the Russians and the Trump campaign?
Well, there's an awful lot of smoke there, let's put it that way. People that might have said they were involved, to what extent they were involved, to what extent the president might have known about these people or whatever. There's nothing there from that standpoint that we have seen directly linking our president to any of that.
Did evidence exist of collusion, coordination, conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russian state actors at the time you learned of 2016 efforts?
I don't know whether or not such collusion, that's your term, such collusion existed. I don't know.
I don't know. No evidence of collusion. None whatsoever. But thousands of hours of cable news coverage, barrels and barrels and barrels of print, and, of course, online nonsense and conspiracy, you know, now bordering on what is an insane proposition based on the fact that there's no evidence, no evidence, no evidence, no evidence. Now, there is a bigger story that even the president tweeted about this week, and that is the surveillance, the unmasking of American citizens, the dramatic increase in the amount of unmasking, the amount of surveillance of American citizens, and were legitimate intelligence gathering and information used to spy on Americans. Well, we know in the case of General Flynn that he was not only unmasked, but he was also illegally It was also illegally leaked intelligence to the public, which is a violation of the Espionage Act. Now, the House Intelligence Committee has itself made a decision that they have now subpoenaed seven people to get into the deep dive of the unmasking and the frequency that increased during an election cycle. Among the people that we know, Samantha Powers, among the other, Susan Rice among them, Clapper and Brennan, and again, seven people total. Anyway, joining us now is Duncan Hunter, who is back with us, Congressman, California. By the way, he himself served three combat tours overseas, two in Iraq, one in Afghanistan. And he is sick and tired of this witch hunt on Russia, 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 Russia. How are you, sir?
Hey, Sean, I'm doing great.
So I understand there's seven subpoenas now that have been issued. Are we going to get to the bottom of why there's this 300%+ increase of unmasking and surveillance of Americans during an election cycle, an opposition party, including congressmen and women and senators, et cetera?
Hey, Sean, I don't think so. And here's why. I think this goes deeper than a few top-level people that they're going to subpoena. I think this is a deep state. That's the term that I've heard you use and others. That describes it pretty well. I think this is a subversive movement within the government bureaucracy to undermine this administration. And I think it goes down to the lowest levels, the medium levels, and the high levels within the bureaucracy that they're trying to subvert and basically bring down the administration from the inside. And you want to use the word collusion, colluding with the media. I think that's what it is. And, you know, this is pretty telling. On Fox Business a few weeks ago, Jack Keane, General Keane, who worked with Petraeus to organize the surge, he's a commentator on Fox all the time. He's not one that usually goes off on wild, fanciful tales. He thinks the NSA was behind some of the unmasking and hearing the Trump conversations. I mean, you have articles in the Washington Post before the people leave Trump's office. So that's somebody in government releasing this information, and I think it goes to the lowest levels, again, all the way up to the high people.
But it has to be the highest level that's unmasking and leaking, and that's the point. I mean, that's why I think these seven subpoenas were issued in this particular case, no?
Yeah, yes, but I think you have bureaucrats all through government that are able to do this, because you have bureaucrats that that see the NSA transcripts, that see what numbers are being called, where they're calling from. It doesn't take a GS-5000 government worker to be able to unmask these folks. In fact, it's probably easier done at the lower levels where there's less oversight, there's less scrutiny. I think that's where a lot of this is happening, too. And that's I think it's happening now, and I think it happened last year as well. I think the people that they're subpoenaing now have to do with the Trump campaign and what happened last year, as opposed to the subversion that's going on right now within the government that's trying to undermine the administration.
Let me play for you. It's rather long, Congressman, a little over 2 minutes, and if you could indulge me here just a second.
Yes, sir.
The president, I think, rightly pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord agreement, which was god-awful, horrible, and a job-killing and a business-killing endeavor that would have been awful for the United States, that gives countries like India and China a 10-year waiver that we're not getting, and we'd end up paying billions in taxes, maybe trillions by the time all is said and done. And I just want to play some of the reaction of the left to the president pulling out of this. And I can't even read the long list on Twitter of all these fake, phony, fraudulent, your fellow Californians out there, your Learjet, limousine, Hollywood liberals that have lost their minds. And it is bordering on a state of unhinged psychosis. But let me play some of it for you.
So what you have here is a president who's lashing out in anger. We haven't had a president this psychologically troubled. I'm trying to use my language very carefully. We haven't had a president this psychologically troubled in this way since at least Richard Nixon.
Yes. I have such rage and sadness. We just watched a dangerous little man give a very, very scary speech.
One of the most bleak depictions of America's role in the world as environmental partners.
This was full nationalist, America first, damn the rest of the world, President Trump.
It was almost like Mad Libs for conservatives, this speech.
This is part of why I think normal people, you just saw Elon Musk pull out. You cannot deal with this White House because you cannot deal with facts, you cannot deal with science, you cannot deal with economics, you can't deal with jobs, you can't deal with anything but mythology and slogans.
Jake, I think that it really will, if it proves to be what we think it is, this will be the day that the United States resigned as the leader of the free world. It's nothing short of that. The irresponsibility of this act is breathtaking.
Countries that are going to be worst hit and worst hurt by climate change are the poor countries. We are the richest country. For us to walk away and say we don't give a damn about the poor countries, even though we created a lot of this, yeah, that's immoral.
You know, the climate doesn't care about our politics. The climate is going to keep getting warmer. And Antarctica is going to melt, and we're going to have floods, and our climate is going to change. That's all going to happen.
And separating out citizens of Pittsburgh from citizens of Paris is just a cynical, it sort of reveals a very shallow and cynical exploitation of the kinds of voters that think we have to choose between being citizens of a great American city and citizens of the world.
On a sunny day in the Rose Garden, what could be defined and construed as a dark speech, and as you go through it, more like four or five dark speeches in there.
Unfortunately, America first means little America, an America outside of the global order. It's like Great Britain became little England. The American United States will become little America. He's withdrawing us from the world where we lead sometimes by sacrifice.
This is no longer, oh, he's doing his thing. This is endangering the world.
If we stand alone to face this global crisis, it's more than reckless. I mean, we are really endangering the planet, the American people, and our economy at a really fragile stage.
President Trump has grandchildren also. It amazes me that he is not concerned about his grandchildren. What does that say about him?
All right, we'll get Duncan Hunter's reaction to all that on the other side of this.
Hannity Headline, a bite-sized version of the show that you can take with you everywhere you go. To sign up today for Hannity Headlines, go to Hannity.com.
All right, as we continue with our friend Congressman Duncan Hunter of California, now as we are headed to the break, we played you this rather lengthy montage of the left reacting to President Trump pulling out of this disastrous Paris Climate Accord agreement, and I don't even know where to begin with these people.
Cats and dogs falling from the sky, Sean. Here's what the Paris Accord basically did. It killed tens of millions of manufacturing jobs and tried to basically subsidize third world countries that can do all the things that we don't do to try to bring them up to our level while bringing us down, which is what the liberal world order would look like. Is everybody even? America would not be great. We'd be mediocre, and so would every other country. That's what this did. Trump did the right thing here, and he did it for the tens of millions of manufacturing jobs that we've lost to China, to India, to Germany, to all these other countries that don't necessarily follow all the environmental regulations that we do. I mean, this doesn't change the environmental regulatory framework that Americans have to do business in. It just basically says we're not going to subsidize third world countries anymore. We're going to put America first, and that's what Trump ran on. That's why he's president,
and that's what he's going to do going forward. And one of the main things he ran on is he's not going to take bad deals. How does China get a pass? How does India get a pass for a decade or longer? How is it that we're going to bear the burden of paying all this?
And India. You literally have to wear a face mask to walk around so you don't get asthma, but they get the break, not us here, and especially California. We are restricting businesses. We're destroying businesses every day in California because of the environmental regulations. What the liberals want in California is no businesses whatsoever, high taxes, the government will pay for everything, and we don't want you here if you're making money. That's why people leave California and go to other states that have more free capitalist state structures, right?
Yeah. You know, I guess the thing to me is that something is deeper than this. Go back to what's her name wanting to blow up the White House or having fantasies and I dream seriously of blowing up the White House, Madonna, or, you know, the insane rantings of Ashley Judd or, you know, Kathy Griffin with her ISIS-like pose with a decapitated president and the blood over and then playing the victim today. It seems, I don't know what has happened. This is not like Bush derangement syndrome. This is like, you know, Trump unhinged psychosis that has broken out, and there's nothing that this president can do right in the eyes of the media. There's no tinfoil hat conspiracy they won't advance. There's no holds barred in the things they're saying about the president, even his wife and his daughter and his 11-year-old son. I've never seen anything like it, and I've been in this business a long time. This is my 30th year, Congressman. I've seen a lot in 30 years.
It's pure hatred, Sean. That's what it is. It's the elitist and the government bureaucrats can't stand that someone normal is president. And I mean, and I wouldn't necessarily say Trump is normal. I think he's a great guy, and he's above normal. But you have somebody who's not a politician and who's not in their circles and who wants to put the American people first. And the lip service that the liberals pay to the American people, while at the same time taking their jobs and giving them to China, running companies out of the states like California, making it harder for people simply to live, raise their kids, get health insurance, all of those things. They hate that Trump is undoing what Obama did, number one. I think that's one of the main things here is Obama didn't pass any laws. He just did these little regulatory things that Trump is able to undo, and it's beautiful to watch it happen, frankly.
You know, I said from the very beginning, I said, watch Trump takes office, Obama's going to lose it, because everything that he's done in the last 8 years, it's almost going to be like, except for his judges, his judicial appointments, and the debt he burdened us with, it's going to be like he was never there.
We're wiping it out, and I take much pleasure
Congress
every time
needs to move a little faster, Congressman. They need a kick in the ass where you're working over there. They're a little slow.
I'm in.
They need a little kick in the... Can you tell that to Paul Ryan and get rolling there a little faster,
please? I'll pass it on.
Pass it on to McConnell when you run into him in the halls and say, you know, Sean Hannity says get your ass in gear.
You can't fix the Senate, Sean. That's one thing that I've learned. In fact, we have a saying, Democrats are our adversaries, the Senate is our enemy. It doesn't matter whether they're Republicans or Democrats in the Senate. They're old guys. They move really slow. You know, maybe they'll repeal the health care in about 20 years. We're trying to make the Senate move faster all the time. They're a bunch of slow folks.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, Congressman. Thanks for being with us. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. I'm going to check in with a good friend of mine when we get back. Why there's some good news on the economy, and then we'll get right to your calls next. I promise in the next half hour, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. Quick break. Right back. We'll have more in our news roundup information overload about all the snowflakes melting down. More on Kathy Griffin's bizarre, strange, bewildering press conference from earlier today as we continue on this Friday and our Friday concert series. Florida Georgia Line concert series coming up.
We know you never want to miss the Sean Hannity Show. And now you never have to. Just sign up for Hannity Headlines, a bite-sized version of the show that you can take with you on your laptop, your mobile phone, everywhere you go, even to your liberal in-laws' place in Vermont.
So, yeah.
And after a few hours of that, you'll be glad you brought Sean along. To sign up today for Hannity Headlines, go to Hannity.com.
All right, the fake news roundup never stops. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. You know, it's very interesting. One of my big criticisms during the political campaign, and we go through this every election season, is if you are conservative, if you are a Republican, then that means you're racist, you're sexist, you're misogynistic, you're homophobic, you're xenophobic, you're Islamophobic. And the great hypocrisy that nobody in the mainstream left-wing media wanted to focus on was the great hypocrisy of Hillary Clinton. There actually is a Russia connection, and that's the Uranium One deal where Hillary signed off as Secretary of State, and 20% of America's uranium ends up in the hands of Vladimir Putin, and it is the foundational material, as you know, for nuclear weapons. And the fact that many of the people that were involved in that deal kicked back millions and millions to the Clinton Foundation, and Bill Clinton ended up doubling his speaking fees in Moscow. There's a real Russia connection. But one of the great hypocrisies is the fact that over the years, Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation had taken millions and millions and millions of dollars from countries like Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and Qatar and the Emirates. And we've gone through all the varying laws and the oppression of women and gays and lesbians and Christians and Jews. I'll give you Saudi Arabia as one example. Women are told to dress a certain way. They have no choice. They have no option. Women in Saudi Arabia can't drive. Women in Saudi Arabia up until 2015 couldn't vote at all. Then, of course, they can't travel abroad, and they're treated like second-class citizens, which is just horrific. And you can't believe it happens in this day and age, but it does. Gays and lesbians are literally put to death for no other reason than being gay and lesbian. And Christians and Jews don't have the right, the freedom to worship as they choose. You can't build a temple, and you cannot build a church in Saudi Arabia. Now, the Clintons took millions of dollars. And I looked and looked and looked, and I never was able to find any instance in which Hillary Clinton went after the abysmal human rights record, track record of Saudi Arabia. And she'd go there, and I know that she'd been to other countries, and she would, you know, honor and respect their religious tradition, and she put on a headscarf, as Madeleine Albright did and so many other people in many instances. And a lot of note was taken this weekend where the First Lady, Melania Trump, and the president's daughter, Ivanka Trump, did not wear a head covering. And actually, Melania and Ivanka got very positive press as being very conservative in Saudi Arabia. It was interesting to watch that observation. In other words, they didn't capitulate. Obama went there and went on his apology tour, and he blamed America. And Donald Trump went there and said, it's time for all of you to get your act together and stand up against radical Islam and kick them out of your mosques and get rid of the cancer that exists that is a threat to every man, woman, and child. Just a very different approach. I mean, it is the tale of two presidencies, as far as I'm concerned, night and day. And the fact that I think you have this distinction where you have a false characterization of Republicans and conservatives, and Hillary, who was bought and paid for by the Saudis and all these other Muslim countries, is so telling. Joining us to talk about this and much more, Lara Trump. She's the wife of Eric Trump. And by the way, she's now part of a digital company that's being used by the president, that was used during his presidential campaign, and apparently is now gearing up even for a re-election bid in 2020. How are you, Laura?
Hey, Sean. I'm doing really well. Thanks so much for having me. And I just have to say, just listening to you just now, I'm so incredibly proud of our president, my father-in-law, overseas. He looks amazing. He is so presidential. He seems so strong in the face of, you know, so much criticism. And I don't think that there's anything negative that anyone can say about the speech in Saudi Arabia, about seeing him now in Israel. I'm just so, so proud of him.
We're going to talk about a tale of two presidencies on Hannity tonight, my opening monologue. But I just want to ask you, because it really is a false narrative that Democrats put out there. And Hillary took all that money from all those Muslim countries for her foundation. And it seems that they bought her silence in terms of she was never critical of their abysmal human rights record. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, and you know, you're right. We never hear anything about that. And I wonder why that is. It's because, and you're calling this whole segment fake news. I mean, that's exactly what it is. They pick and choose what they want to report. And when it comes to Democrats, they underreport the negatives that you see coming out of the Democratic side. And they try and find anything they can, of course, to go against Republicans, to go against my father-in-law. And, you know, as the first woman to run for the presidency on the ticket, it was really disappointing that this was the woman. And I said it during the campaign, this was the woman that represented all women as the first one to run for the presidency, because, you know, you see things like that and you see all of this, just these back-end deals and things that are never reported and never talked about and are bad for our country. And I mean, thank God that we have the president we do today, because you have to think, what would have happened had she become the president? What would have happened with all those deals when she had to pay up and live up to the expectations that these people had from her? And now we see my father-in-law, who is representing this country impeccably overseas on his first overseas trip. And you're right. It couldn't be more different. It's night and day. And, you know, again, thank God we're in the situation we're in.
Yeah, well said. Look, I do believe the attacks against the president are unprecedented, but also the attacks against the first lady. I won't reiterate the things that have been said. You know what's happening. You've heard them. And the attacks against Ivanka Trump in particular, the late night comedians, for example. You talk to her. You're friends with her. You're best friends with her, as I understand. And I mean, how is she taking all of this? I mean, she recently wrote a book, and you know, women who work and rewriting the rules for success. And from what I understand, she can't even go out and promote her own book.
Yeah, well, I'm very close to Ivanka. We're an incredibly close family. And she was really passionate about this book. Really, the book was written from a businesswoman's perspective, from a mother's perspective, who is trying to figure out life between home and work. And this is more of a guide as an entrepreneur for women out there who are businesswomen, who also have families, who are trying to figure out how to make it all happen. And, you know, being that she's in the position she's in, she said, you know what, I won't go out and promote this book. So you never heard her say anything about it. I tend to think it's an incredible book as a woman who works myself, who will be a mother come September. I found it incredibly insightful. And, you know, what did you hear? You heard people on the left just saying anything negative they could so that sales of her book were repressed. And, you know, listen, these are people who are supposed to be propping women up, you know, supposedly, and instead they're trying to tear her down. But despite that, Sean, her book has been on the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal bestseller list for weeks now, since her book debuted. So it's not working. So
without any promotion at all.
Without any promotion at all. People are interested in what she has to say. And again, I find it incredibly insightful. And as a woman myself who can learn from Ivanka, I have always found her to be an incredible role model. And before I was even pregnant, I always said to her, I hope I can emulate what you do when I become a mom, because she really does have it all worked out, at least in my mind. I'm sure she's chaotic most days, like we all are. But, you know, it's a shame that instead of propping a woman up and saying, you know what, this is a book that can help all women, what you hear from women on the left is negativity and trying to repress sales of her book, but it's not working, which is great.
I just think the double standard. I mean, let's use an example. If some of the things that were said about Ivanka or Melania Trump And how in God's name does anybody get away with saying anything about a 10-year-old kid is beyond any comprehension I have in my life. But that all has happened. Anybody that likes and supports the president, anyone working for him, Bannon and Jared and Reince and poor Kellyanne and you know, all of these people, Sean Spicer, I mean, it's a daily beat-up job on the poor guy. But I guess my question is, I mean, there's if you are close to the president, like the president, support the president, you're going to be get the crap beat out of you.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's become the narrative, you know, when we all understand that. And the nice thing is that I'll tell you, I see notes from people all the time. People are still ordering merchandise. And as you mentioned in my introduction, I'm working with the campaign, and I see the incredible things. When people place an order on our website for merchandise, they have the ability to write a note on there. And these notes are so inspiring to read. I go through all the time and read them because people say things directly to the president. We are proud of you. We're with you. The fact that we're still able to fundraise and that we are still here, the movement that started in this country almost 2 years ago now is still here, says a lot. And it says that it doesn't matter what they're doing out there. We all know what they're doing, and we can handle it. You know, we made it through this campaign as bloody as it was, and I think we all understand that this is for the betterment of the country, and if we have to take a few knocks here and there and get a little bruised up, that's okay, because at the end,
Lara,
I think it will all be worth it.
Are you really saying a few knocks? This is more than a few knocks, and
I'm being a little conservative.
I've been a brawler my entire life, and I've been, since my first day on radio for 30 years, I've been hit, but not this hard. Trust me, and I don't mind a good fight. Well, I think it's really pretty great that you guys are out there and you're taking it in stride that way. I think the greatest concern the left has is that Donald Trump is actually going to be effective and successful. That's their worst nightmare. And I think
he will. Yeah. He will. And you know what? I say it to people all the time. People always come up to me. They come up to my husband, Eric, and they say, you know, we're worried. We hope the president knows that we're still with him. And the one thing I will say about my father-in-law is it doesn't matter what they say about him. It doesn't matter what they try to do. He will always do what he knows is right and what is best for this country. And you see it right now happening overseas, the way he's representing us, the accomplishments that I think he's already had over there. I mean, this is a historic trip of epic proportions. You have not seen something like this ever in my history, you know, that I know about. This is so special, and what he will do for this country, there will be no denying it. And I think I felt it during the campaign. The more they pushed back from the other side, the more I knew we were winning. And I still feel it today. And I think they're very nervous because they know he's going to do great things for this country. And,
well,
and
I think, Lara, you got to understand. I mean, if they can do nothing else, they want the noise. And the noise and the chatter and the breathlessness, you know, actually, in a way, helps them prevent the president from being successful. And that's also part of what they want. I mean, if they can create enough distraction and 80% of the time of the administration is fighting off critics and fighting off conspiracy theories, if they're successful at that, then they're successful in some capacity of stopping the agenda.
Well, and they should be ashamed of themselves, because all they're doing is hurting our country. You know, when they start doing things like that, and you're right, that's exactly what's happening, it's to the detriment of our country. And reporters out there, and I use that term very loosely, journalists used very loosely these days, they ought to be ashamed of themselves, because we should all be trying to help the president achieve the best for our country. And instead, it's what you say. You know, it's every single day. We all see it. It's an all-out fight to try and find anything that he has said, anything that he has done wrong. And, you know, it's really a shame. And history will look back on this time. And I really do feel like I'm on the right side of history every day. I sleep very well every night knowing that. And these people aren't. And they're doing things that could potentially hurt our country, and they ought to be ashamed of themselves.
All right, Lara Trump, we'll also see you on Hannity tonight talking about these same issues and more. And by the way, we're going to put a link of Ivanka's book on our website. Well, I don't even know if I can. It'll be an in-kind donation. Remember I did that with my buddy Gomez? and it cost me $200,000 in legal fees.
Oh, no. I can't do anything. Don't get charged legal fees.
Well, anyway, Ivanka's book is Women Who Work. It's in bookstores everywhere, Amazon.com. Lara, tell you got to tell Eric, I think he definitely got way the better side of this deal. And and I don't mind saying it publicly, even because he's a friend of mine, and he'll probably be upset, but I always tell the truth.
I'll let him know, Sean. Thank you so much.
All right, Lara Trump, and they have a baby. Congratulations on that coming soon. 800-941-SEAN, a toll-free telephone number. Quick break, right back, and we will continue an awesome Hannity. We have two big breaking news stories tonight. The tale of two presidencies, and that is on foreign policy. An apology tour versus a tour of strength, and a story for the ages. We will break down how the media Russia collusion narrative is dissolving before their eyes, and there's no evidence. But is there another answer? We're digging deep tonight. Hannity at 10. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. All right, Hannity tonight, 10 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. We're going to start with my monologue, and we're going to touch on two issues tonight. One, a tale of two presidents. One timid, one apologetic, one weak, one appeasing, and one strong that identifies the evil in our time. The second big story, Democrats prove my point. No evidence of the Russia-Trump conspiracy. They say it, not me. Then why is the media still breathlessly month after month after month reporting? And what are some other possibilities that we need to investigate and questions that need to be asked? We'll do their job as usual, 10 Eastern tonight on Hannity. Thanks for being with us. See you tonight. Back here tomorrow.
Our final news roundup and information overload hour.
It is a weird tension. I think it's a dangerous time for the First Amendment and for the free press in this country. And at the same time, we're oddly influential with the guy who wants to kill us.
You. Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I am outraged. Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
You know, I had a dream the other night about that I was playing golf with Donald Trump, and I was standing beside him with a club in my hand, and I was, you know, considering my options when I suddenly woke up. You know, it was one of those dreams where you want to just get back to sleep so you can finish it, you know?
That was pretty good. I might have to put Mr. Burgess on Fox News. I'll put Mr. Burgess up against Sean Hannity. He'll tear him up. I need you to go out and talk to your friends and talk to your neighbors. I want you to talk to them whether they're independent or whether they are Republican. I want you to argue with them and get in their face. And
press always asks me, don't I wish I were debating him? No, I wish you were in high school. I could take him behind the gym. That's what I wish.
What we've got to do is fight in Congress, fight in the courts, fight in the streets, fight online, fight at the ballot box. And now there's the momentum to be able to do this.
This is a death panel bill because people will die. This is deadly. He's deadly.
You can't stand him.
I am.
He's the most horrible man I've ever seen in my life. Your president is a dishonorable, lying man.
Ordinary people who simply saw what needed to be done and came together and supported those ideals who have made the difference. They've marched. They've bled. Yes, some of them have died. This is hard. Every good thing is. We have done this before. We can do this again.
I don't respect this president. I don't trust this president. He's not working in the best interest of the American people. His motives and his actions are contemptible. And I will fight every day until he is impeached. Impeach 45. Impeach 45.
As far as I'm concerned, the Tea Party can go straight to hell.
In fact, the only thing your mouth is good for is being Vladimir Putin's holster.
Oh, Ivanka's going to be our saving grace. You know, when he's about to nuke Finland or something, she's going to walk into the bedroom and, you know,
yeah,
Daddy, don't do it, Daddy. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to punch him in the face.
And I might just kill ISIS with the same ice pick that I murdered Donald Trump in the same night with.
Which enemy are you most proud of?
Probably the Republicans.
All right, news roundup and information overload hour here on the Sean Hannity Show. Toll-free, our telephone number is 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of this program. Now, we live now in the age where we've evolved from Madonna and Ashley Judd and Crazy Uncle Joe Biden. I like to take him out behind the gym. Well, what if I said that about Crazy Uncle Joe? Or if I said, I'm going to send somebody out to tear Obama up the way he wanted to see me get torn up. Or you have, well, let's club President Trump. Now we've got the age of, let's see, ISIS poses, Shakespeare in the Park, where we will have a nightly assassination of Trump. And if you don't understand it, you don't know who Shakespeare is. Oh, please grab your blanket, your champagne and caviar. And please, oh, the uncouth bastards, they don't understand. Et tu, Brute? Good God. Every night. Assassination. Well, now we got assassination lists. And then we have targeted congressmen whose names are on the list. Camille Paglia is back with us. She wrote a new column, and she talks about a nationwide orgy of rage and spite. How are you?
Hi, Sean.
Are we gonna go drinking one day? Because I heard you like went out with a reporter and drank with them for like 8 hours, and you told the best stories. Is that true?
Oh, well, there were two meals in the middle of that, but I do love beer.
Okay, I'll give you all the beer you want. Here's what I want to. Last time we had you on, and it's funny because a really conservative friend of mine wrote me about you this weekend. And he said, did you ever hear of this woman? I'm like, yeah, I love her. She's a great writer, and she's smart, and she's a feminist, and she's outspoken and iconoclastic. I said all this stuff about you. And you got to read this. Last time you were on, that was pre-ISIS pose, pre-assassination attempts of Republicans, pre-Shakespeare in the Park. And I just, and then I read your column, An Orgy of Rage and Spite. I wanted to get your thoughts.
Well, you know, I'm a Democrat, and I voted for, you know, Bernie Sanders in the last election season.
Yeah, by the way, you got screwed. They stole it from you.
Well, I'm committed to the reform of my party, okay? and I am looking forward to voting Democratic again, you know, in the next presidential election, hopefully. But all this rage, completely misplaced. I mean, it seems to me that who my fellow Democrats should be mad at is the Democratic National Committee and Hillary Clinton, for heaven's sake. So that's what they should be mad at. We had plenty of potential nominees, okay, who could have countered Trump, I believe, in the election. Leading the pack is Joe Biden, and nobody's asking any questions. You know, why was it that President Obama stepped on Biden? What was going on behind the scenes, okay, that produced that scandal, right? Because Biden would have won, in my view.
Well, I think maybe he would have done better, but I'm not so sure, because Biden is just a walking soundbite of stupidity at times. I mean, he can't, you know, you can't be go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I mean, does say a lot of dumb stuff.
But Biden has a long history, okay, of these gaffes and so on. But he has great rapport, okay, with ordinary people, all right? And he is a moderate. He's like, people are familiar with him. There were so many doubts about Trump because he was an unknown, all right? And so I do believe that given how close the election was, okay, that Biden would have pushed it over. So all this rage with this massive tantrum, all the Democrats are doing is demonstrating they should not lead. Okay, they're demonstrating we are the party you should not elect. Are they crazy, this behavior? Okay, I want the Democrats to win. I want them to have a winning strategy. And it doesn't come from this kind of this, all these, you know, this hatred, okay, of half the nation that voted for Trump, okay, to insult people. Trump wasn't elected because of racism, okay, homophobia and so on. Trump was elected, okay, because he defeated all those nudniks, okay, in the GOP primaries,
oh,
who were
grief.
Not nearly good enough. And if Trump manages to improve the economy and produce more jobs, you know, in this country, he will be reelected. It's simple as that.
What do you make of all of the violent rhetoric? I mean, for example,
it's obscene. It's outrageous. Okay, it shows that the Democrats are nothing now but words and fantasy and hallucination and Hollywood. Okay, there's no journalism left. What's happened? Okay, to the New York Times. What's happened to the major networks. It's an outrage. I am a professor of media studies in addition to professor of humanities, okay? And I think it's absolutely grotesque the way my party has destroyed journalism right now. It's going to take decades to recover from this atrocity that's going on, where the news media have turned themselves over into the most childish, fraternity kind of buffoonish behavior.
This is why I love your writing so much. You've got this flair that nobody else I know has. You know, one of the things that I've kind of pride myself a little bit on is being right a lot. And I'm not, this is not spoken out of egotism or arrogance. Because we waited way back early in my career, I waited on Richard Jewell. I ended up being right. I waited on Trayvon Martin. I was right. The media was wrong. Ferguson, Missouri, same thing. Baltimore, same thing. And Duke Lacrosse is another case. But I was also right about Obama's policies would not be good for America. I think the facts bear that out now. And I think I'm also was also right that Trump could win. And now we live in a world of conspiracy theory, black helicopter conspiracy theory TV. You say it's going to take decades to recover. I don't see how they can ever recover.
Well, journalism has really collapsed partly because of the arrival of the web, which I adore. I love writing for the web. But as the different cities, you know, the regional newspapers have foundered and you know, in some cases disappeared, what we're getting now is this concentration of news reporting coming from the coasts, okay, which is really bad. Okay, so we're not getting the kind of voices of the heartland, okay, that we used to. Not only that, but education has changed so that young people are not getting any exposure to history. Okay, they know nothing about world history. They know nothing about world geography. Okay, they don't know. They're taught to have positive, you know, attitudes and to be humane and compassionate and so on. But they're not taught the basic framework of world history. This is why you get all this crap about how America is the worst place on earth. But it's like the freest country in the history of the world, and young people today have had absolutely no exposure to the famines and the war and the disasters, okay, of history. They need to be exposed to the past, and they have no sense of the past. Whatever, everything's the present.
You know, it's so interesting you say that, because one of the things I fear is that we're living in a bubble in terms of people's lack of education, lack of even simple, basic, fundamental curiosity. And you know, when I wrote a book years ago called Deliver Us From Evil, I really just laid out the previous 100 years of human history. You got over 100 million dead people slaughtered in the name of government.
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
It seems to me that there is an ostrich in the sand type of quality to the world today, where there are people that don't think this can happen again in the age of ISIS, radical Islam, mullahs in Iran, North Korea. And I'm like, you people better wake up. We have the potential for a human catastrophe like we've never seen before, and don't think it can happen. It will.
Well, all it will take is someone to figure out how to sabotage the power grid in the United States.
Bingo.
And everything will collapse. We're going to return to savagery and barbarians in the street and famine. Okay, again. All right. And so all these people who can just assume they can just switch on a light and turn on a faucet and everything works. They have no sense of how it works. Business, okay, and the material frame of culture, okay, and capitalism, okay, which emancipated the modern woman, right? And so there's all this rhetoric. Now, you see, I've been saying for 25 years, right, that people need religion. Now, I'm an atheist, okay, but I predicted 25 years ago, okay, that secular humanism was on the skids. And that's what's happened, because secular humanism has no spirituality
to
it.
I want to take your class. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Camille Paglia is with us. And even though it's spelled P-A-G, it's Paglia. Did I say it right? I think I did.
Paglia.
All right. Well, I get it. I got to get something right in my life for once. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. We'll continue more with Camille Paglia straight ahead as we continue.
Hannity Headlines. A bite-sized version of the show that you can take with you anywhere you go. To sign up today for Hannity Headlines, go to Hannity.com.
All right, as we continue, Camille Paglia is with us, author of the book, by the way, Free Women, Free Men, Sex, Gender, Feminism. And we're talking about her latest column, which is about the Democrats' nationwide orgy of rage and spite. You know, I've had to deal with something that really my entire career, but it's just come to the forefront, I think, because people see that the message that I have, and it's not anything I'm doing, I would argue, but some the things I believe in, a lot of people agree with. And now they want to silence conservative voices. And you see the attacks by these Clinton-funded Soros groups and people paid, Camille, to monitor every minute of every day of every conservative host on radio and TV. That's liberal fascism to me. You're an outspoken liberal. What do you think of this effort?
Well, the point is there's a real tunnel vision here, because in point of fact, the rise of talk radio, starting with Rush Limbaugh in the early 1990s, was entirely due, okay, to the monopoly that liberal voices had on the networks and the major big city newspapers. Okay, The rise of talk radio is absolutely crucial to produce some sort of ideological balance, okay, in the country. All this outside funding and this manipulation and so on, these shadowy forces, you know, behind the scene, the Clintons specialized in that, okay, which is another reason my party should be outraged at the Clintons, okay, and everything Clinton-esque, okay, should be banished, okay, because of this exact kind of, these paranoid conspiracies, the Brock, okay, and all those, like, Machiavellian types that Hillary loves to collect around her. This nation really dodged a bullet, okay, as far as I'm concerned, in keeping the Clintons and the Clinton establishment out of the White House.
Well, I agree with that. And, you know, I actually think that this is now, with all of the investigative creep, you've got all the media with their just lying on a nightly basis, and you put in the deep state leaking day in and day out because they don't like the choice of the American people. I think this is now a real clear present danger, and there's a chance that they may be successful in undermining this president. And if that happens, do you think I'm overreaching to say that I think America, as we know it, is done?
Well, what I was predicting for months is that if Trump was elected, which he was, what we would have is a smashing of the establishment in three big areas. The establishment of the Republican Party would be smashed, that of the Democratic Party, and that of the major media. So that's what's going on here. It's like a gigantic battle, like in a Japanese horror movie, like the Godzilla era, and so on. This writhing, desperate writhing, okay, of the broken and smashed establishments. Okay, now, whether Trump can emerge from all this wreckage, okay, with a new vision of things, we're still waiting to see what's going to happen. But my feeling is that if he stays on course to try to reform economic matters in this country,
especially right?
That he's going to succeed.
People don't understand me, and I kept saying every day before the election, this is about people in poverty, on food stamps, out of the labor force, 51-year low in terms of home purchasing. I'm like, Mike, when do people give a rip about the heart and soul of this country?
Yeah, listen, what exactly did Obama do for the condition, okay, of African Americans in the inner city?
It's worse.
Nothing.
It's worse.
I didn't vote for him the second time. I voted for Jill Stein the second election.
Now, you and I have to have a debate over global warming one day, but over
global
beer.
Global warming? I think this whole climate change thing is a complete, fraud. What? I love.
All right, where do you teach again? Because I want to go watch. I want to sit in on one of your classes. Are you as manic in class as you are on the radio? Because I'd love that.
People have called me the academic Joan Rivers. I adore Joan.
That's really fun. I liked her too. Yeah. She was, by the way, she and I got along great. We were friends.
Oh, yeah.
All right. God bless you. Camille Paglia,
thank you.
Appreciate it. 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. When we come back, my buddy Kevin Jackson is going to stop by, the Black Sphere, and much more as we continue.
We know you never want to miss the Sean Hannity Show. And now you never have to. Just sign up for Hannity Headlines, a bite-sized version of the show that you can take with you on your laptop, your mobile phone, everywhere you go, even to your liberal in-laws' place in Vermont.
So, yeah.
And after a few hours of that, you'll be glad you brought Sean along. To sign up today for Hannity Headlines, go to Hannity.com.
All right, 25 till the top of the hour. Toll-free telephone number is 800-941-SHAWN. You want to be a part of the program. She's become one of our favorite guests. We have a regular segment now. She's with the UK Daily Mail. Now, we have an agreement whenever the gobby one, Katie Hopkins, is on the line that we shall have. There's no such thing as political correctness. She can call me darling and sweetie pie and cutie pie. And this is like a no PC zone because you're like the most politically incorrect person, but not in a vile, mean, vicious way. I mean, you've never held up an ISIS style pose with a severed head of an elected leader, right? I mean, you're not political incorrectness is not vile hatred in your part.
No, not for me. It's all about just saying exactly what I think, sort of articulating exactly how I feel. And then if there's consequences for those, the things I say, then I absolutely accept those consequences. But I do think some things these days just need to be said.
You know, between you, Nigel Farage, and people are going to be stunned because I competed against this guy for years, although I never disliked him. And that's Piers Morgan of life become my three favorite Brits. Did you see when Piers went out there and tore up Anderson Cooper for not being loyal to his friend? I mean, look, if you do something politically incorrect, I'm probably going to say, Katie, come on, be smarter than that. But I'm not going to go out publicly and trash you. That's not
exactly
how I roll. Unless it's something.
Exactly right. Piers is doing such a great job at the moment. I really feel here in the UK, Piers' popularity, I would say, has never been greater, which is a fantastic thing. And also, Sean, one of the products you were talking about last time we chatted, which was like the tighty whitey pants, I told Piers, you told me to tell him you would send him some.
Yeah, I did.
And I told him that I'd ordered him a size small. So he was quite offended by that.
He was quite impacted by the... Oh, man, he's going to hate me. And the funny thing is, you know, it's sort of like if I went over to your country and I started talking about, you know, the monarchy, which I got to be honest, maybe I'm one of the few Americans that are not as fascinated with the queen and, of course, the princes and who they're dating and who they're marrying and who they might have spent the night with, which is an obsession of the British population. But if I did go on radio or television there and night after night, you know, started hammering away at it as an American, I got to imagine the people of Great Britain would tell me to go back home.
That's right. And they would. And last night, for my sins, at a work leaving party, I was in the nightclub that Prince Harry goes to with his horrible fiancée, Meghan Markle. And I can tell
why is she horrible?
Well, I mean, really, it's just all too much. There's too many boobs and bums going on for my liking in one individual. She's just not regal enough for my liking. But anywho, I can tell you, in that club, I have never seen such a bunch of useless individuals in my entire life. And if that's the people he's mixing with, I had a few things to say to them last night. But certainly with Piers, at least you can say, look, he doesn't, you know, support the use of guns or the ownership of guns. I'm personally a massive gun supporter. But at least Piers he's authentic. He has integrity, and that's something we're sorely lacking in politicians these days.
Yeah, well, listen, I got to tell you, it's, you know, good for you. All right, now, because you have a regular segment on the program, we've got three options for you that we want you to choose from in terms of our special gobby one, Katie Hopkins' introduction to the Sean Hannity. Does anybody in Great Britain ever listen to my show that it's come up to you and said, by the way, I heard you're on Hannity's radio show? No, that's never happened.
No, of course. I get a lot of stuff on Twitter saying that they're glad that I'm on your show because I'm a good voice of reason against you because you're clearly an utter lunatic. And say, look, it's nice to have a bit of a female balance with Hannity on the show. And people are really kind about me, actually. Thank you very much, sir.
I think you're more loved in America than you are Great Britain, to be perfectly frank, after all the garbage I read about you.
That's true, and that suits me mighty fine because America has Donald Trump, and all we have is a mayor and Theresa May. So I think you are much better off being American, and I celebrate all you great American people.
Here are three options. Well, your spot of tea in the meantime.
Okay.
Go ahead. All right, option one.
No. Well, that's a no for sure. That makes me sound like I wear talcum powder on my lady parts. We're not having that.
Oh, my gosh. Here's option two. Go ahead. What did you think of that one?
I say fantastic. I just had a little march around my kitchen island. You will remember I went to Sandhurst, and that is one of the pieces of music they play on the drill square. So I'm loving that.
All right, option number... Well, I'm going to add a fourth one. Option number three. All right.
Oh, sure.
This is going to...
No. Dreadful. That sounds like my children doing their recorder practice. No.
Yeah. By the way, so my kids had to practice instruments. My son, for years, I don't know what the stupid thing that he was playing is. This was how it sounded, and now... And the teachers are bringing home and practice, and I'm like, I'll pay you not to practice in my house. Get out of here with that. And it drove my son nuts that I would, that's not that bad. That.
I don't allow it. So my son really, really wants to play the trumpet, and he's 8 years old.
That's what it was,
and I lied to him that the trumpet teacher was too poorly, that she wasn't doing lessons anymore because I won't have a trumpet in my house.
I don't want drums. I don't want a violin. I don't want a piano. I want peace
and quiet.
I've got
a violinist, but I used to play the violin too, Sean, actually. But I don't,
We actually call that where I come from, the fiddle. All right, let me play. Now, this is more Hannity music, style music, and we'll play a little. It's Friday, and we do this little Florida... Georgia Line Friday concert series. I'll do it in the next hour, but this is what I might recommend for you. Let's hit it.
Mixtapes got a little Hank, little Drake, a little something bumping, thump thumping on the wheel ride. The mix and our drinks a little stronger than you think.
Stronger than you think.
Grip, take a sip of that.
That is long.
Trucks, hang on, jack it up.
Slip back. Yeah, you can find us
where the party's at.
This is how we roll.
This is how we do. Down the shooting bullets at the moon.
You have the best time on your own.
All right, I do. All right, which one do you choose? One, or two, three, or four?
Well, we're certainly not choosing four because that is not British at all, and we are trying to be a little bit British. So we're going with option two because then I can march around as I'm preparing to talk to you, and you can have that image.
Why don't you like number four? The number four is the best one by far.
Yes, but this is the Gobby one segment, not the
sing
along on his own segment.
How did you ever come up with the? How did we come up with the Gobby one, Linda? Do you remember? I don't remember.
No, she said it in a segment, and then she was like, "I'm very Gobby," and you were like, "What's Gobby?"
Oh, I said, "What's Gobby?" Yes. That's exactly.
And now, when I'm on Twitter, I go, "I'll be joining Sean Hannity. The Gobby one will be joining Sean Hannity." That's become like a weird thing.
Well, just so you know, Katie, that's how he talks about you all week. So there's a good reason for that.
What?
It's not like, spreading.
No, it's spreading. I agree. By the way, if you haven't gotten into trouble lately at home, have you? Because every time I check in any British newspaper, I'm like, oh, gosh, what'd she do now? What'd you do now?
I know. You would think that. But literally, I'm just this kind of woman with kids that's just a regular woman. But the blokes can't handle it because I have a voice and because people kind of like the stuff I say and they don't know how to shut me up and they can't shut me up. And it makes them really cross.
Well, they do. I mean, are you watching everything that's been going on? And serious question. Can you believe this is the world we live in and all the rhetoric and hate and vitriol and just vile nature of attacks against the president of the United States from within his own country?
I can't even bear it. Trying to be doing my bit. So I've been lobbying against these idiots that are putting up money to sponsor the theater. Where Trump is kind of, Julius Caesar is Trump and he's kind of assaulted on stage. I mean, for goodness sake, it's just nonsense. And then you have that poor, lovely Republican gunned down. It breaks my heart. It really does. And also, I should probably tell you as well, Sean, while we're talking, in the UK, some of you will have seen, I suspect, the large tower block fire. Did you see the fire in London?
While it was happening, I was doing my show live on Hannity, and here's what disturbed me about that. How did they possibly have a blazing flames on every floor, every single floor? Now, a fire maybe starts on floor 9 or 22 or 18 or 3. It doesn't spread like that. There's something not right here.
Yeah, so as we speak now, because of the anger, because the death toll, the official number is currently 17, But having been there, spoken to the locals, and having looked at the numbers in that building, they think the number of dead may rise as high as 200, and they now have a problem with riots. So there is a mass protest going on, and I predict later this evening that will turn nasty, that will turn violent, and will start rioting because they don't have answers, and there is a big difference, as you'll appreciate, between
Do you share my suspicion? Do you share my suspicion about every floor blazing flames like that?
Well, I mean, what it is this cladding. They put this stuff on the outside of the building to make it look prettier so that when the posh people were looking, it didn't offend their eyes so much. It turns out they used the cheap cladding. And so after the fire started, it whipped up this cladding up the outside and turned the whole building into a kind of massive Chinese lamp.
Seriously, in the year 2017, they don't have enough sense not to do something that stupid.
Right, and they only had one stairwell, Sean. So 27 floors over. 600 people, one stairwell, no sprinklers, no alarm.
God help us, the stupidity. All right, stay right there. The Gabby one, Katie Hopkins, is with us. Hear that music, that can only mean one thing. The Gobby one, Katie Hopkins, our friend from Great Britain, has chosen horrible music as her introductory music here. Do you like any other music, like American music, pop music? You don't like Madonna. God, you know, Madonna goes to lives in Great Britain a few years, and she gets that pretentious British accent that is phony. There's a difference between a real one and a phony one. Did people in Great Britain pick up on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible. And then she also thought she would be like, she bought into this idea of being kind of the landed gentry, you know, the shooting set that we're part of in the countryside. So she went and bought all the stuff, all the tweeds, all the silly little knickerbocker trousers that we wear when we go shooting, and she thought she would be part of that as well, whereas actually, in reality, she still just looked like a bit of an American hooker that didn't really belong in the countryside.
Oh.
So that's the truth.
But listen, I got to tell you something. You know, Madonna, and she's now, how do you even say this? She still thinks that she is doing, you know, like a virgin again. I mean, you see her, and she's so grotesque. Did you see her, that written speech, her reading, "And I dream an awful lot about blowing up the White House"? I mean, why didn't they arrest her? If that's what
she was so ridiculous. I was there. You know, I was there for those marches because I went to go and laugh at them. And, you know, the speeches they gave, this one woman, this idiotic woman with that stupid hat, she took to the stage and she went, "You are we and we are you." And the crowd went mad. And I just looked at these women and thought, you are actually psychopathic if that's the sort of speech that sends you delirious, because they're saying absolutely nothing. But no, I'm not a fan of Madonna at all, but I do love my new music there. And you can hear, if you listen carefully, the drill sergeant shouting. And the drill sergeant I used to have, my teeth stick out a little bit, and he used to yell across the parade square, "Hopkins, you could eat an apple through a tennis racket. Put your teeth away."
That's so fun. How old are your children? Yeah. How old are your kids?
My poor kids are 12 and 11 and 8 years old. So the 12-year-old is really sensible, and she'll be fine, and she'll do fine. The 11-year-old is just like me. She'll be trouble. I will pick her up from the police station by the time she's 15, and she'll be pregnant.
Well, I first got taken home by the police in first grade. You're a lovely bright of sunshine in a very dark world, and your irreverence and how politically correct you are is an inspiration. We love the fact that you get in trouble almost daily. It cracks us up. And you have a home here in America if you need one.
Thank
you, sir. Maybe I ought to let you, you know, this is the most dangerous thing I'm about to say. Maybe you could fill in one day, but we'd have to tape the show, because I'm just assuming the 40 delays we have won't be enough for you.
No. We would need, like, a team of 18 crack people on the dump button. We would need a, like, 8-hour delay. And we would also probably need someone with a taser gun stood near my head.
That's what, by the way, Linda's the taser gun. You know, every time I'm starting to go off track or do something wrong, or say,
in
my ears are the most sensitive part of my body. 30 years in radio, I'm deaf. And she'll scream and, "Stop!" I'm like,
Like now, when you're over, stop.
God help me. All right. Katie Hopkins, the gobby one from Great Britain, the biggest troublemaker in the country. Thanks for being with us.